and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them. They also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. May God add a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. The grass wither, the flower fade away, but the word of God stands forever. Amen? Amen. But I want to talk from the thought, a message from hell. The choice is yours. This gospel, according to Luke, is written by Luke. But this gospel recording written by Luke. Luke, again, was a physician. He wrote this to Theophilus, whose name means lover of God. And so he wrote it to those who really love God. Amen. Luke also wrote the book of Acts, but Luke was a companion of Paul, and he also was a physician who traveled around, and he didn't let his intelligence and his doctor degree get in the way of him receiving that which belonged to him by God. Amen. He was able to receive salvation not by intellect, but by a spiritual rejuvenation. Amen. And regeneration. And so when we look at where we are here, and I don't want to be long, so I'm just going to cut through, but we find out that Jesus begins to talk in parables. And he began to talk about stuff like stewardship. He talks about the prodigal son, if you will. He talked in parables, and he was trying to get people to understand what he was saying and putting it in their terms, layman's terms, amen, where they could understand it. Now, the Pharisees was a religious group that followed Jesus around, and they were one of the leading religious groups. They had a lot of people following them, and they believed that the coming of the Messiah, they believed the Spirit, the resurrection of the dead, things like that. And so Jesus was talking to them, but they were a self-righteous group of people. And Jesus trying to convince them all the time of salvation coming through him, amen, that they had to believe and they had to hear from God, and they just couldn't think that they could work themselves into heaven by their works, but they had to believe on Jesus Christ, amen. And so he tried to use parables to get them to understand, and then he would later, if they didn't understand, he would reveal to the disciples what the parables meant. And so now we find that after Jesus told parables, he got into what we would call a real story. Amen. Sometimes you can tell parables, but then when you get into a real story, amen, then it really brings some things home. Now, when we look at this, after he talked to them, he's trying to give them a real story. And he says there was a certain rich man. He didn't call him by name. But then he says, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. This man, a rich man who was very prosperous, he had prosperity in his life, and he fared really well. Every day he lived in the luxuries of the day. Whatever the luxury of the day was, he had everything that he could ever need. Amen. He had everything that he could ever need. And then he says, and there was a certain man, a certain beggar named Lazarus. Now, Lazarus has a name, but the rich man don't. Jesus hadn't, in his parables, he didn't give anybody names before. So this leads me to believe that this is a true story that Jesus knows about, because now he gives him a name. Amen. And so he said there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. This beggar was in poverty. Amen. This man had a name, Lazarus, whose name happens to mean he who God helps. There's three Lazaruses. There's one that was the servant of Abraham, whose name we would call Eliezer or Lazarus. And then we have Lazarus, who Jesus raised from the dead. Amen. And then you have this Lazarus. And those three always play the part of somebody who received something special when they really didn't do anything to receive it. Lazarus was with Abraham. He was a servant of Abraham. And Abraham said, I have no heir to all of this that you've given me except this one Lazarus, this stranger, and I made him the heir. But then Isaac was born. That didn't keep Lazarus from getting what he was supposed to get. Amen. Although Isaac got everything, this man was blessed because of his faithfulness. Amen. Then we had Lazarus who died, but Jesus, because of his faithfulness, he raised his friend Lazarus from the dead. And now we have Lazarus the beggar. Now, when we look at this, let's examine the man. He says, a certain rich man, he was clothed in purple. Now, to be clothed in purple in that day means to be royal. It means to be like a king. It means to have plenty. Amen? Purple garments were not cheap to come by because you had to buy them from a certain place that made that particular dye in order for you to dye those clothes that color. If you notice, most of the time in the Middle East, most clothes are just dingy white, normal clothes. But in order for you to get that, you had to pay a certain price. And this man could afford to walk around in purple every day. He was a man that was so rich that he could wear what he want, eat what he want, do what he want. Amen. He was a rich man. And now I want you to understand that just because you have prosperity and things happen good in your life and you receive a lot of good stuff in your life, don't mean just because you're in a good condition in this life doesn't mean that your condition is good. Just because you have a good condition doesn't mean your condition is good. Amen. I'm not saying that God doesn't bless us on this side, but he does bless us. But the fact is that we need to stay focused on who the blessings come from. Amen. We need to stay focused on God in whom all blessings flow. But this man apparently had gotten to the place where he wasn't looking at God. But he fared well every day. He lived in the luxuries of the day. All day long, he was doing what he wanted to do. He went in the gate and out of the gate. But the Bible says in verse 20 that there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, and he was full of sores. Now look at that. This man was in a bad condition. All right, this man, one man was in prosperity, and the other man was in poverty. One man in prosperity was selfish. Because he saw this man at his gate every day, full of sores, and he had enough garments that he could have covered him. Oh, my God. He saw this man at his gate every day and didn't feed him. So this man had got wrapped up in his prosperity so much so that he felt like many of the people of America feel today, that you need to get it yourself. Even if you are less fortunate than I am, you deal with what you got. It's not my job to help you up. It is our job to help people up. It is our job, amen, to help them along the way. That's what we're supposed to do. That's how we are supposed to be as Christians. But it is mostly the Christian right that says that every man needs to pull himself up by his own bootstraps. What do you tell a man who has no boots? This man walked by a man full of sores who was laid at the gate. This let me know that Lazarus, a beggar, this man must have been handicapped. You know, some of our conditions that we're in, it handicaps us from being able to achieve what others achieve. Amen. Whatever our condition is, this man, whatever his condition was, he was not mobile enough and not able to do what everyone else was doing. So he had to beg for a living. I wish I had somebody. Oh, yeah. So this man, he had, even in his poverty, he suffered. Amen. He suffered. His life was poor and his life was painful. Amen. We need to know something today. Let me be honest with you. Sometimes we need to get it in our head as a church and we need to make sure we understand that everything is not going to always turn around and just be good all the time. Jesus said, the poor you will have with you always. Somebody got to be poor, but I thank God he didn't say I had to be. That's just me, okay? But what I'm saying is that we need to understand that what if things don't get any better? Will we still trust God? Will we still believe in Him? Will we still love Him? Will we still praise Him? Will we still give Him the glory for our life? Or will we have a sad story all the time? What if things don't get better for us? You know, we look for things to get better. Because that's why we come to church, so things will get good. So that things will get what? Better. But what if things don't get better? What if things get worse? What if things get to the point like this beggar? This man had sores. And his sores were like ulcers on the outside of his body. They just kept getting bigger and bigger. And this man, look, he begged. And let's go on to the text. He says that he was full of sores. So he was in pain. He was poor. He suffered. And we need to know the Bible said that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. It may not be revealed in this flesh, but it's going to be revealed. Oh, my God. He said, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Look at this. This man had no other desire other than to eat bread that fell or crumbs that fell from this man's table. Look at this now. You got to understand, in that day, they didn't have napkins. They didn't have a paper mill to make napkins. So sometimes rich people would cut off hunks of bread and they would wipe their hands on it and throw it away so that they can clean their hands with bread. And this man, all he wanted was what he cleaned his hands with, what he was throwing away. That's all he desired was some hand-me-downs. That's all he desired. Amen. And you know, it's nothing wrong with desiring the finer things in life, but this man didn't ask for much, but he still didn't have anything. What if you don't ask for a whole lot and you still don't get what you need? Oh, my Lord, help me. This man suffered. We got to learn how to deal with the reality that suffering is going to happen. Jesus said that tribulation was going to come. He said, offenses, you will have them in the world. Amen? But Jesus said, don't fear. I've already overcome the world. All right. He says, now, here was this man. He was full of sores, laying at the gate, desiring to eat crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Now, I know that man could have gave him a plate every now and then. I know that he could have gave him a garment to cover himself in. But he let him stay at the gate. Most people wouldn't let somebody just hang out at the gate of their house. They'll say, no, you need to move around. You don't need to be here. But he was okay with this man begging at his gate because maybe he didn't even notice the man. Maybe he, you know, when he leave the gate, he would have his carriage and he have his window rolled up and he wouldn't even look his way and didn't even notice that the man was there. Amen. We need to see this, that sometimes when we don't notice others, when we don't notice when other people need our help, we don't notice that that's just as bad as if we did something to them. This man didn't beat him. He didn't hurt Lazarus, but he didn't help him either. So what I'm saying is that sometimes we need to realize that if we don't help people, it's just as bad as hurting them. If we don't lend a helping hand to them, it's just like we took our hand to hurt them. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost, to preach this. And so he says, and the dogs came. Moreover, the dogs licked his sores. When you look at the word moreover, it's not saying that this was something better that happened to him. But you know what? The dogs soothed his pain a little bit by licking the sores. The only bath that he had was the bath the dogs gave him. I wish I had some help today. He said that moreover, the dogs licked his sores. He was hungry. And all he had was dogs to lick his sores. He didn't have a friend. His friends were the dogs. And look, the dogs were the same. Look, while the food was thrown out, you know the dogs got their portion. And the man could only eat what was left after the dogs ate what they wanted to eat. That's bad. This man's condition was a bad condition. But his condition on the outside had nothing to do with his condition in his heart. Oh, my God. And so look at this. He says in verse 21, he says that and desired to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. This man, Lazarus, he got comfort and soothing from the dogs from an unlikely source. When people could have helped him, he had dogs. Oh my God. All right. And it came to pass, verse 22, that the beggar died. He died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died also and was buried. Look at what was said about him. Now, first off, we see now that Lazarus has a name. I forgot to bring out, but the rich man has no name. That lets me know that Lazarus, in spite of his physical condition on earth, was known by God. And the rich man wasn't. It doesn't matter. Everybody knew the rich man. They knew him, and history gives him a name, Dives, which really means the rich man in the Latin. And Jesus didn't give him a name, but when we look at this rich man, he may have been known by everybody in town, but he wasn't known by the right person. He wasn't known by God. You see, it doesn't matter who knows you and who you know unless you know Jesus. It doesn't matter who knows you unless God knows you. The reason why he couldn't call his name is because his name wasn't written. Oh, my God. The only names that matter to him are the names that's in his book. And since the man's name wasn't in the book, his name wasn't mentioned in this book. Oh, Lord. Lazarus' name was in the book, so God mentioned his name in this book because his name means he who God helps. It didn't look like he was getting much help while he was laying there begging. Didn't look like he was getting much help while the dogs were licking his sores. Didn't look like he was getting much help while he was in pain on the curb. Oh, yeah, you know how people kick you to the curb. It didn't look like God was helping him, but God helped him through it. Because when he died, his pallbearers were the angels. When the rich man died, they had a funeral out of this world. Oh, yeah, and he said that he was buried. He had a funeral. But what was said about Lazarus is that the angels took him and they laid him. They set him in the bosom of Abraham. We got to see something here. When you are the beloved of God, God will give his angels. Psalm 91 says that he'll give his angels charge over you, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. He got angels around you. He got angels with you. He got a protection. Amen. I got my own secret service with me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All night, all day, the angels watching over me. His angels encamped round about them that fear it, the Lord, to deliver them. Amen. And so it says that this man died. The rich man, he died. That's all it says. And he was buried. Didn't say where he was laid, but we found out where he went. Look at this. It says that he died and he was what? Buried. And it says in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. You know, that reminds me of what David said, that he'll allow you to, he said he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My enemies get to see me. They saw me how I was, but they get to see me now how I am. He says he looked afar off. He lifted up his eyes in hell. And you know, it's our choice. You know, if we, Jesus said this. He said, what profit of a man to gain the world and to lose his soul? This man had every luxury in the world. This man had chosen that which he thought was good. This man had what he wanted to have in the world, but what he needed to have, he didn't have it. It's bad when you got what you want to have and you don't have what you need to have. You need Jesus. You need to know the Lord. You need to know that he is the only way to salvation. He's the only way to God. You need to know this. Come on and say amen. And so we see here that this man finally, we get to verse 23, and he said he lifted up his eyes in hell and being in torments. Now, the word torment has an S, meaning that it's plural, that he has more than one torment, that he's not going and just through one little thing, amen, but he got many things. You know how you have all these things happening at one time. He was going through many torments, amen. And he wasn't going through. He was in many torments. And seeing Abraham afar off, Lazarus in his bosom, he saw Abraham at a distance. Because there was a distance, there was a separation. When you don't know God, when you separate yourself from God here, there's a separation later. Make your choice today. Come on and say amen. So when we look at the separation, there was a great separation. But then he finds that Lazarus was in the bosom of Abraham. The bosom of Abraham is what they call the place of paradise when the righteous die. They would call it the bosom of Abraham. And what that means is a place of peace, a place of paradise, a place of rest, a place where you don't have to toil no more, a place where there's no devil, a place where there's no troubles, there's no pain, there's no problems, there's no situations that make you want to cry. Oh, come on and say amen. There's nothing that make you want to get upset, nothing that raises your blood pressure, but a place where there's peace. He said he saw him in the bosom of Abraham, verse 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Look at this here. This man, even though he was prosperous in life, he fell into a place that he didn't want to be in, and he started to pray. He started to pray. Now, he didn't have to pray while he was living. Because he could get what he want with his money. Why pray when you can just go get it? Why pray when you can tell somebody you want it and you got it? You know, that's what we think prayer is all about anyway. We think the only reason to pray is to ask God to give me something. When prayer is a communication, even if you don't ask for something, at least you ought to say thank you. Even if you don't ask for something, you need to ask him, what does he want from you? Lord, what would you have me to do today? Come on and say amen. This man began to pray, and he cried out to Abraham, and he asked him, he said, I need some soothing satisfaction. He prayed and asked Abraham to let Lazarus, the same one he ignored. Now, he knew Lazarus' name, but he wouldn't help him. The same one he wouldn't help, now he wants him to help him. He said, Abraham, let Lazarus just go. It's so hot. If you can't give me a full cup, just let him dip his finger in the water and drop it on my tongue to cool my tongue. Because this flame, you may be going through some hot trials now, but you ought to praise God that you don't have to stay. And that when you do go, you don't have to worry about the flame. Oh, Lord, help me. He says that let him bring and dip the tip of his finger in the water. It's so much symbolism in that I don't even have time to tell you about it. He says, and cool my tongue. He said, I'm tormented in this flame. In verse 25, Abraham said, son, remember that in thy lifetime receiveth thou good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. Now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Look at this. He says, now he's praying, but his prayers are not being answered. He's prayed, his prayer's not being answered, and that's just like many of us. We pray, but we don't get what we want, amen? We pray only because we're in the heat. Help me now, help me now, help me. We pray because something has gone wrong in our life. But what about when things were going good? Did we even pray? We probably prayed 2 minutes, but now because of trouble, we can pray 30. Oh, yeah, we probably pray once a day, but now because of trouble, we pray all day long. We're talking to the Lord all during the day. Lord, you know. Oh, come on and say amen. Yeah, we're talking to him in the car. We turned the radio off, and now we're talking to him when we was really listening to the radio when things were going good. We were listening to 101.9 and whatever else we listened to. Help me, Holy Ghost. Yeah, we were listening to all that while things were going good, but now we want to listen for God. I'm trying to hear the Lord. We were always on the phone, always talking to somebody. Now we don't want to talk. We can turn the phone off because we need to hear God. Because of the heat, because of the trouble, because of the pain we're in, because of the problem we have. We are no different than this man most of the time because we don't pray until we got to pray. You see, answered prayer. A prayer is being answered depends, first of all, on your person. Who you are. Are you in him? Do he know you? It depends on your person. But it also depends on your posture. How you come into prayer. He was the rich man, so he didn't have to approach God. But you got to learn that the Bible says that we got to be humble. Amen? We got to be humble before God. He said he gives grace unto the what? Humble. We have to learn to humble ourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt us in due time, a due season. Amen? We need to know that our posture before God has to be that God is above. Oh, come on and say amen. And we're beneath him. That's why the scripture says in Psalm 121, he said, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. So whence cometh my help? For my help come from God. In other words, God is above me. Amen. He's the only one that can sit above me and see what I'm going through and help me from the position that he's in. Now look, prayer answered not only depends on your person and your posture, but it depends on your position. Where you're praying from. This man was praying from hell. The real hell. Come on and say amen. We pray from the furnace, and that's good. We pray from trials. We pray from pain. We pray from persecutions. Amen. But don't let yourself get in hell, because we be talking about, you know, I let going through hell. No, you hadn't went through hell. I've been going through so much hell. No, you haven't. You're just going through a fiery trial. That's not really hell. Because in hell, there's no soothing of the pain. There's no quenching of the fire. The worm don't die. He eats you up. Come on and say amen. Oh, yeah. In hell, there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. The reason why it's weeping and gnashing of teeth, you can't, you know, when you got weeping and gnashing of teeth, you can't even talk because you're too busy saying, ooh, the pain's so bad. But this man gives us a message from hell. Look at this. He says, let him go, cool my tongue. But then Abraham tells him, look, he says, you had your chance when you were living. You had the opportunity to be a blessing, but you cared about nothing but your blessings. You stored them up. The Bible says that this richest man had storehouses, and he got an abundance. And instead of helping others and spreading out and sowing seeds of abundance into other people's life, he tore down his old barns, built up new barns, and stored the rest of the stuff that he had in the barn, only to rot away. And Jesus was letting us know that that's not the way he wants us to be. He don't want us to keep it all to ourselves. Oh, come on and say amen. Oh, yeah, he wants us to be a blessing while we yet live. Because what can you do once you pass? You can't help anybody from the other side. Oh, Lord, help me today. Oh, yeah, so this man, he says, and he tells, and Abraham said, look, you know what? Besides that, there is a great gulf between us. We can't even pass from one to the other. You can't come over here, and we can't go over there, because we are here with God, and you are separated from God. Amen? If you make your separation from God now, you will always be separated from God later.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support. We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana, Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast.